Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
A few folks responding to our if the Tigers lose out, go 0-3 to finish out this stretch but still make the playoffs, should they celebrate with champagne? Mike saying, worst take of the day. Nick Wilson popped the champagne after finishing 0-13. That deserves a couple of high fives at best. And then Paul saying, Jake, Nick is DeLulu. I know that word because my kids use it. There's no way I'd ever celebrate losing 13 games to end the season and backdoor into the playoffs. Celebrating a losing streak is weak, and it's not like this is the first time in history the Tigers have ever made the playoffs. I don't know how to say this in a way that doesn't sound really condescending. You're not celebrating the losing streak, and this is the take of fans, not people who have earned it and who have played who are professional baseball players who know what they're celebrating and who know the work that they put in to get where they are.
I think if the roles were reversed, you would look at the Guardians and you would be furious that they celebrated at the end of the year.
I think you would. And I think I would say, you know what? You're in the playoffs. I love this team because you're a playoff team. Go ahead and celebrate. You can't say it because it's me saying it, but you can say it. However,
I would not be happy with them.
That was like basically Chinese what we were trying to transcribe there. But no, I don't know why you'd have a problem with this. You're not celebrating the losing streak. I don't know why that's so hard for people to understand. You're celebrating.
It's not that you're celebrating the losing streak.
We get to check in and out in baseball whenever we want. We get to when it gets bad, we get to walk away from it. Every day since February 16th this year, those guys have gone out there and they put it on the line. They played hurt. They have fought each other. They fought for each other. Like, these guys all the time in these locker rooms talk about, you know, how much our brothers in the locker room. And sometimes that's a little too band of brothers for me, but it's true. Like, you fought so hard just to make it to the end of the season and to be in a league where the least amount of playoff teams are minted at the end of the season, to be one of six teams surviving in your own league, I don't know how that's not an accomplishment. And I think if to me, the weakness is we're 0-13, winners get sprinkles, I'll be honest with you, your ass is cooked before you even get to the playoffs. If you can't sit back, kick your feet up and say, hey, that last, 10% of the season, 6% of the season, 7% of the season wasn't good, but we've accomplished something and we got to hit the reset right now.
I don't think that, I think you give professional athletes honestly too much credit in the ability to do that though. Like, as guys who are as critical of themselves as you could possibly be in that moment, I don't think you can look around
at
everybody there.
This isn't going to be the first time that enters the postseason or the first team entering the postseason on a losing streak, if that's how it goes. Teams do that a fair amount and then bounce back. Like, the playoffs do represent an artificial reset, and there are teams capable of this. Like, and again, like, it's why I think some people are afraid to play the Tigers in the first round of the playoffs. It's like, well, what if they find their mojo? That's a fair thing. I just know there's a lot of action between these two teams brewing. But overall, I'm like, no, man, like, this is hard. Baseball is hard. That is the hardest sport to play from the time commitment and how long this thing goes on and how freakish things can get. Like, I think not celebrating making the playoffs is an admittance that you're ready for Cabo. I think that's the sign of weakness. And I understand fans feeling that way. So when our brethren at the ticket, we're all fans. When they go, how dare you do that? That's because you're not in that room. That's because you have not accomplished what they've accomplished. It is so hard. And I do think of a fair amount of people have played football. You understand the commitment. The time commitment for Major League Baseball is unlike any other commitment in sports. And by the way, it doesn't stop now. A lot of those dudes will be going to Venezuela or Mexico or something to play in the offseason or some other tournament. Like, it is hard. So much of what baseball is and why it's hard isn't how impossible the game is. It's how impossibly long the season is. And to survive that in advance, whoopty hell, that is an accomplishment.
Yeah, again, I just don't think that if you're there, you feel like that is true survival. I really don't. I feel like you basically got graced by going into the playoffs. You want to feel like you earned something. And not to say that they haven't.
That's what you're saying.
No, but they have. They earned the right to be able to play like this and make the playoffs by how well they played. But understanding that if you came into this one with a 5-game lead and it's like, okay, well, there was only 5 games left and they just happened to lose one and we clinched it out, congratulations to us. They have a 1-game lead, half-game lead in the, I think it's a 1-game lead over the Astros right now in the wild card. Like, they physically have to lose for you to get in. You are doing yourself no favors. You are by no way making sure that we make the playoffs. You did not do it. Like, you gave the opportunity, all of the opportunity in the world for somebody else to come steal it, and they just got lucky enough that they did not.
No, you didn't get lucky enough.
That is luck.
And no, winning 86 games, I think they're at 84 games. Winning 84 games is not luck. It's winning more than you're losing. Like, if an 8-9 team in the NFC South, because that's always where it happens, NFC South, if an 8-9 team makes the playoffs, should they not celebrate because they lost more than they won?
No, you should celebrate at that point if you're 8-9 and you make it. Now, maybe if you rattled off 9 straight losses, I don't know that you should be going, hoopty, we made the playoffs. It should be, wow, we're a terrible team.
Who says hoopty?
I'd say hoopty now.
You say hoopty?
No, not really.
Okay.
I said it now, so now I kind of do say it, right?
now you have to say it.
I add that one to my vocabulary, once a week hoopty requirement.
Robert saying, if a team makes it into the playoffs by losing the rest of their games, yes, they should still celebrate, not with champagne, but with flat soda and room temperature pizza that's been sitting out for the last 2 days. Or they could do the old Oakland A's thing. We have to pay for the vending machine. Like, all right, there is, in that vending machine right there, there is champagne. There's $1,000 a bottle. Get at it, guys. Let's do this.
Well, we all know
free champagne is for winners.
We all know they're popping like $10 to $15 bottle champagne, right? In those locker rooms, there's no $1,000 champagne in those locker rooms.
Maybe not in yours. Let's go with Tom in San Diego. Real quick, Tom, if the Tigers lose out but still make the playoffs, should they be allowed to pop champagne post that last game?
A win is a win, but I'm calling about something else. We need to have a come-to-Jesus meeting about talking about already in the playoffs, winning the division, et cetera, et cetera. I know you guys won't remember, but I called you before the Buckeyes-Notre Dame game, the championship game, and you guys were already, this was a done deal. Buckeyes are going to blow them out. You guys need to know the juju.
Didn't they win?
They did win that.
They did, but I made you guys change to say that Notre Dame was going to win. So because you guys that, the Buckeyes won. And if you remember, I know you don't, but the following two calls agreed with me 100% that they screwed things up because they changed things. So there you go. Anyhow, sure, we want the tribe to win it all, but come on, we got to do this like under the radar. Even the 2020 sounds like it's a done deal. You guys are killing me.
And damn Meredith. I knew it was her fault. I do know it was her fault.
I'm blaming it all on Meredith. Okay, you guys, go try.
All right, buddy. Go Cards. I'm torn because it worked with the Buckeyes, and he's right. As soon as he said it, we were like, you're right. Notre Dame's going to win. And who won? Who had it better than us? Nobody. Ohio State won. I don't know. I'm sorry. I think I've given up on jinxing. I think I have. I only really allow that to play in when somebody else has jinxed them, because then it's really funny. And then they squirm for a while. I don't know. Like if you lose, I think you just were going to lose, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a person who's always believed in the broadcaster jinx, like on a game. Like, if a guy has a perfect game, you should not be saying that he has a perfect game on the broadcast. That's just dumb. Like, we just don't do that. Yeah. That's a rule of baseball.
Yeah, but some people do, though.
I know.
Yeah, they're called real men.
Yeah, and then usually that perfect game gets broken up and everybody blames you the next day.
Yeah, okay. Because getting a perfect game is really hard.
Yeah, no,
I don't know if you know that. It's a perfect game.
You still don't do it.
Yeah. It's not the announcer jinxed this game. It's a perfect game.
But I'm just saying, like, I understand it makes no impact on the actual game. You just don't say those type of things. This is not one of those moments. You don't just say, well, our team's going to lose.
All right, no, you're being a hypocrite now. You can be on one side or the other. Either jinxing doesn't exist. No,
I'm playing the middle.
No, there's no fence.
There is a fence.
All right, there's
a
wall.
I just built one.
There's a wall. We built it, and they paid for it, and we built a wall. All right, you can be on one side of the wall, you can be on the other. And there's a certain group of people that if you try and get over that wall, we're gonna sick on your ass. All right, it's that simple. You can either think you can jinx or you cannot think of jinx. And I need you to grow up right now and choose a damn side, Jake.
I'm scaling the wall and I'm standing on top of
you
it.
You don't have the cardio to scale the wall. And I say that as a man who doesn't have the cardio to scale the wall.
You don't know anything about my cardio.
I don't know anything about cardio, but I know you don't got it. That's what I know. Let's go with Mike in Stowe. Welcome to the show, Mike in Stowe. How do you go?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? Jake, you get off early tonight. Nice.
Yeah, I actually get to go watch Thursday Night Football and enjoy. Although
and
normally
it's the Cardinals versus Seahawks. Yeah,
can't wait to watch Sam Darnold play Kyler. Woo.
But you can listen to it right here on 92.3 The Fan.
There you go, right. So, like, okay, so...
Nick's officially tanked my ratings. Now we can continue.
Sorry, man. You'll get it back. I'll be listening. So, Nick, I'm with you. And here's why. It's like, look, I wouldn't go crazy and go nuts, but I'll try to give it to the fan, like try to make them think about it their way. It'd be like giving your boss giving you a goal to reach for the year and you getting the goal for the year but not getting there in December. December was a bad month, but yet for the year you got the goal, so you got the bonus. I'm still celebrating that year, even though I didn't do great in December. You know what I mean? And it's like this. I guess I'd mildly do it. I wouldn't go crazy. I wouldn't be like, you know, stomping on anything. But and personally, I wouldn't be too happy about losing 13 in a row in anything in life. So, you know, that would already be a problem regardless. But I think you got to celebrate the whole season because it is an accomplishment as a whole. And you do have to reset yourself a little bit in your mindset. You're right. Like, what's the worst thing to do? Go in there kicking yourself because you just got roast. You stink. You've been stinking lately. Or just go in, all right, we've been good all year as a whole. Let's go in there and do what we know what we're doing. Let's get at it. I think it's just better for a mindset to go that route. And the younger kids, too. You know, they got to celebrate. They don't get a chance. Maybe they might not get to the playoffs for another 5, 10, or who knows? It may be never.
Mike, we got a boogie, buddy. I appreciate you. And not just because you agreed with me, because you're a good gentleman. I did not hear goal to reach. I heard something different. Did we dump that? Is that a thing? Is that something I haven't heard of yet? Do I have to Urban Dictionary it? And then it was goal to reach. And I was like, if Keith gave me the other thing that I heard, we'd be having some real meetings in this building, okay? Pete Futek, College Football News, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We head out to the fan hotline to welcome in, as we do every single Thursday at 4:20. Pete Futek of College Football News. Do you agree with me that Vegas at this time, the gambling public as well, they are out their ass making this a 7.5-point line for Ohio State versus Washington?
Hey, guys. Well, first, Tulsa King, did that take out Mike Gundy? Is that anything to do with this over the last? I mean, he's got some influence, I think, in the greater Oklahoma area.
I don't think it's the same thing.
It's not. My worlds are conflating here. So, but I'm guessing you think that it should be what, 14 or so?
No. On an average day, I think Ohio State is 2 touchdowns better than Washington.
Yeah, except Washington's pretty good. They've got a whole lot there. And the other part about this, too, is are you sure Ohio State's really all this number one team? I think it is. I think it's good. But everyone sort of like put them there after beating Texas. But Texas isn't that good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Great. So, like, I obviously Ohio State's better. I'm picking them, but I'm not 1,000% sold that this isn't one of those times where, you know, you've seen it over the years, over the low these many years, where kind of a little of a fish out of water game, where it's kind of odd that Ohio State's in Seattle, Washington. You know, time change, long trip, blah blah blah, crazy stadium, crazy environment. You know, whether it was Florida State going to Tallahassee last year or, you know, whatever. There's just enough quirkiness to this where I would not be totally stunned if Washington came up and did something great. However, this is not the type of game that Ryan Day has lost during his career, unless this Washington team is actually that good and ends up wins 11 games. That's pretty much the type of team that Ohio State would lose to.
Would you go through, I know you said that you don't think they'll come up and actually get it done, but is that upset alert? Like, not that they're on it, but is it upset watch?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, it's a long, long road game for a team that hasn't actually been tested. We haven't stress tested this offense yet. Does it work against a good team? We don't know. It didn't work against Texas. At least they didn't unleash it. It was all about the defense. So, again, good, very well-coached team. Jed Fish is really strong. It took a year to kind of get things back up to speed. They've got enough playmakers. No, they don't have the size or the talent of Ohio State. But it's, you know, 7.5 isn't insane. So I'm not saying that they're going to win, but it wouldn't be crazy if we're talking next week and like, wow, Washington, you know, rose up and came up with something special, at least for three quarters.
So what is the path for Washington to get the win over Ohio State?
Just play D. You know, this is a strong team on the lines. They've got a playmaker. They got speed at the skill spots. And it just so happens that on this day, the offense doesn't click. That, you know, whatever reason, the running game isn't on. Saiyan isn't hitting. You know, Jeremiah Smith gets, you know, closed down. You know, this however ways you want to put it, I mean, this is a Big Ten team. This is not just, you know, some random bad team. This is a Washington team that's probably going to win 8 to 9 games this year. So it's like, think of it like you would say if Ohio State was going into Iowa. Would you think Iowa is going to beat Ohio State? Probably not. Or Illinois? Probably not. But yeah, it's a team it's a real restaurant quality Big Ten team, very, very far on the road in a very hostile environment.
Pete, Arch Manning making headlines over the past week for his celebration of basically taking down Sam Houston. Now, obviously, win the game 55-0, but a lot of people point out the fact that it was Sam Houston. Do you like him using this game to try to build on something and gain his momentum, or it was a little too celebratory for you?
A little bit too celebratory, but, like, look, my problem with this, and it's my problem with football in general, is the guy looks way overcoached. Like, you just look across the landscape of football, even to the NFL, where, you know, what happened? Look at Jake Browning, for example. When he came in after Joe Burrow got hurt, it was kind of like, okay, guys, you know, just we're in trouble here. Jake, just go out there and ball out. He threw a couple picks, and what'd they do? They won because he just went out there and just chucked it around and let's go play ball. And then what happened when they had to go in the game plan, okay, check down and don't make mistakes, don't turn the ball over, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden they look pedestrian. When you let these guys let it rip, and I go back to the one last drive against Ohio State where Manning had a horrible day, nothing was clicking, but you could kind of see that it was like desperation time in two-minute mode. The arm strength was there. He had the one play at the end where he, you know, was able to break free of the tackle and at least get the ball off, where you could kind of, you know, okay, those are the skills. It's there, but these guys are just so locked in to not screw up now that I think it screws them up.
I know we get a lot of college football actually happening this week, but I did not miss Mike McCarthy and the Wisconsin AD at a Badgers volleyball game that coincidentally Luke Fickell is getting hearing chance of fire Fickell at Camp Randall. Does Mike McCarthy as potential successor to Luke Fickell actually make sense to you?
No, but you know, hey, look, you know, Pete, there was a time when the idea of Pete Carroll going to USC was crazy for half the world. And so you never quite know. Every time you think that, oh, this guy's definitely going to fit. I thought Billy Napier was a sure thing fit for, sorry for this coming by here. But I thought Billy Napier was a
They're going to get you this time, Pete.
They really are. You know, quit eating sausage and bacon every day. Billy Napier going to Florida seemed like it would be an absolute rock-solid fit. Didn't quite work. Fickell going to Wisconsin seemed like it would work as well. And it's just not. Look, this team is probably not going to win another game the rest of the way. So if that's the case and you're Wisconsin, you open it up to everyone. I keep saying, why not Kurt Cignetti? Wisconsin's bigger than Indiana. It's got more money, got more resources. Go get Cignetti. Go get Lane Kiffin. I mean, Wisconsin can pretty much outbid almost anybody for anyone. Open it. If that gig is open, open it up to the rest of the world.
All right, speaking of recently deposed head coaches, Mike Gundy out at Oklahoma State. Who has success again first? Mike Gundy and wherever he lands or Oklahoma State?
Yeah. Here's the thing about the Oklahoma State gig. Now it is winnable because before, remember, if in the old Big 12, you had Texas, you had Oklahoma, and way back you had a Missouri, you had Kansas State, and, you know, Kansas was a better. You had Texas A&M way back in the day. You had real national championship-level teams. Colorado was a national championship-level program. Now who you got? You know, there are no anchor tenants in the mall. There's no Ohio State or Michigan or, you know, Alabama or Georgia in this thing. Who's the star program in the conference? It should be Oklahoma State based on recent years, and it's just not quite happening. So I think they can be pretty good pretty fast. I will be really curious to see where Mike Gundy goes. I think he would be – I half joked that, you know, watch, he's that guy who could be the next offensive coordinator for Ohio State. I mean, he's a brilliant, you know, coaching mind, but he is Mike Gundy, and I will just put it this way. In certain ways, he's one of one. He is a different sort of cat. He's got his own personality, but I don't know where he will fit. But watch, I would not be shocked if he becomes a media star, a color analyst of some sort, where he just comes out and lets it rip. He might not be that bad in that role. So I guess I will say Oklahoma State, but Mike Gundy's going to do all right for himself.
As long as we're talking about things off the field, Lane Kiffin's daughter announcing this week that she hard launched her relationship with LSU linebacker Whit Weeks, and of course it is LSU Ole Miss week. For Lane Kiffin and the Rebels, does help or hurt them?
Lane Kiffin is awesome. I mean, he gets it. He knows social media. He knows how to play the game. I continue to think he's about as underrated a coach as it is in terms of, X's and O's. I mean, look, you know, Ole Miss is not a football powerhouse. He's having arguably the best run of any coach in the history of the program. Although I will say this, the idea that he just tweets out, take the over, I know he was speaking of stuff else, but he thinks about this sort of stuff. So I like the over on this game anyway. I like it even more with that. But, yeah, this is – you know, everyone's going to be talking about some of these Big Ten games and certainly Alabama, Georgia's front and center. But Ole Miss LSU, that's a thing. That's one of those pieces of the college football playoff puzzle. And here's my call, and I'm starting it now, and I will see if this plays out. Watch out for the SEC to start picking each other off, because look at the ACC. You've got a lot of teams there that could win 10 games. I'm going to throw Indiana in this mix. I'm going to throw, you know, go out Michigan. Kids probably might be 10-1 before they play Ohio State. You're going to have a lot of 10-2 at least Big Ten teams. Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State should be in. You might have five teams who are worthy of 10-2 in the college football playoff. You might have three or four, depending on schedules ACC teams. You might have two Big 12 teams, Texas Tech and Iowa State. You look at their schedules. We might only have one or two SEC teams. This game matters.
All right, Pete, we are on potential fraud watch for Penn State. Northeast Ohio Zone, Drew Aller, and the Nittany Lions hosting Oregon this weekend. Penn State, -3.5. How are we feeling?
I sort of like Oregon, but not loving it. And I don't even think it'd be a fraud watch, unless they get just boat raced. Penn State does have the talent to be the best in the country, and they've had three games to tune everything up. They are at home, and oh, they're going to wear white shirts. Ooh, scary. So there are those aspects to it. But Oregon's really, really good. They've got the pass rush. They've got the line, and they're not expected necessarily to win this game. I don't think it necessarily matters. I think winner makes it easier. Loser still goes to the college football playoff in a really weird, funky way. The loser of this overall, looking what's ahead, might actually come out ahead because they might get that break of not having to play the Big Ten Conference Championship game and getting that extra week off. So either way, both of these teams are going to be fine. I will be shocked, though, if it is not a really entertaining close game, because these are two of the five best teams in college football.
And who has the quarterback advantage between Dante Moore and Drew Aller?
I am not.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
As I've put it on a different show as I do, I am a real apologist for James Franklin and he can't win the big one because he wins a lot of really good ones. So I've always kind of bristled at that. On the flip side, Drew Aller does need to win a big game. This is where the quarterback does have to come through in the big moments. And he's been there long enough. He's got the NFL talent. This is the moment where Penn State's got more NFL talent than anybody else in college football. They got more experience. Everything is in place, and it's got to be the quarterback that has to be the difference. Dante Moore, I think, is going to be terrific. But this is kind of an indictment on Drew Aller here, one way or the other.
Pete, you're always great, buddy. We appreciate you, and hopefully you got a better weekend coming than Lane Kiffin, because that could be a difficult one for a lot of reasons there, fan.
I won't even touch that one, but I'm right there with you. Have a great weekend, guys.
You too, buddy.
Thanks, Pete.
Pete Futek on the fan hotline there. The chance is, again, it's your daughter hard launches a relationship with a kid that could beat you and then take your daughter home. There's only so much a man can be emasculated, right?
Yeah, I just feel
by the way, Mrs. Kiffin goes with him.
That would be a way to up
it. I've seen Layla Kiffin. That would not be a bad pull for that kid.
I feel like Lane Kiffin's the type of coach, though, that just runs up the score in this game. Like, I don't know. LSU's obviously a really good team. They have their work cut out for them. He has an opportunity to put as many points on the board as possible. Lane Kiffin's the coach to do it.
I'll tell you right now, if I was a popular burger, chain, I would make sure that Whit Weeks had a Smash Burger endorsement this week, because I think that would just be very funny. Not great, but very funny. We might have some juice between the Lions and the Browns. You'll hear that in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Usually, when JP and Mac are both in the show on Thursdays, we go through our quarterback Deadpool, which is something we've been doing all season long before any other show in Cleveland did it. We are the original of the quarterback big board Deadpool, whatever you want to call it. And as neither gentleman is on the show and neither gentleman has submitted a roster change, Jake's going to join us here, and we're going to run through the latest here. Jake Murren, that is, and then Jake Volnick. We'll go ahead and see how he feels about our quarterback Deadpool.
All right, guys, this is week, I believe, 5 of Afternoon Drive's Quarterback Deadpool. And we're actually going to start with Mac and then go to Jonathan and then you, Nick, because your team actually had a bit of a mix-up this week with a special or with a specific injury. So let's start with Mac. He has Lenore Sellers, Fernando Mendoza, Aiden Childs, and Jalen Daniels on his team. Lenore Sellers did play last week. South Carolina has lost 2 in a row, though. Sellers also credited for minus 28 rushing yards last week, so not great there
but
from the dual threat quarterback.
Fernando Mendoza, I think, might have become the number one pick over the weekend.
Exactly. Mendoza looked awesome. 14 touchdowns, has no picks this season. He looks to be the best, at least second-round pick in this entire quarterback Deadpool. For Jonathan, his team, I mean, his first-round pick is Cade Klubnik, and that entire Clemson football program looks to be in shambles right now. And then Arch Manning was his second-round pick. He is coming off his first 300-yard game against Sam Houston, but Dante Moore continues to be really that star on JP's team. For you, Nick, you have Drew Aller, Garrett Nussmeier, Carson Beck, and John Mateer. And why we start with you here is just John Mateer has that hand surgery. He's out for a month on his throwing hand. Does this mean we're making a move here, dropping John Mateer from your team?
I'm going to play the long game because the rest of my quarterback roster is so good. But this week is a pretty critical week because Mateer's hurt, because you've got Ole Miss for LSU. So Nussmeier's got a huge game. And then Oregon and Penn State play. So this is quite literally the Nick versus Jonathan Bowl. This could absolutely swing how people on social media feel about our quarterback Deadpool. And I can't tell you I'm the most confident person in the world because Oregon has so much talent. And I also got to say, like, Dante Moore was a guy I wanted 2 years ago when they got Will Howard. I still think, because he played a bit at UCLA his freshman year. He wasn't very good, and then he transferred to Oregon. I still think he should come back for one more year at Oregon. But, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he came out and after this year, and he was – I don't love the lack of experience comparatively, but I he's got all the tools to be a franchise quarterback, which is why I think he should stay one more year.
This isn't even close right now. I didn't realize how lopsided this was.
Well, oh, you mean with
the
me?
Deadpool and Hole. Yeah, you have literally probably the, four of the top five candidates sitting around right now?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But each guy does have somebody that I think, I might have more guys drafted. Mm-hmm. I might have more first-round picks. But I think Dante Moore's got number one pick potential. And I don't sleep on Mendoza. Like, there were a lot of dudes in the draft community that were head over heels when they found out he was going from Cal to Indy, or to Indiana, and he's going to put up huge numbers there, and just did after this last week against Illinois.
Yeah, and Sellers' stock is pretty high, too. So, like, Mac with Lenore Sellers and Mendoza, those are a good 1-2 punch there. I mean, his team after that, like, the depth is pretty bad there for Mac, but your depth, Nick, is, I mean, Aller, Nussmeier, Beck, Mateer, you've got the best team in terms of depth.
All right.
There.
Right now, I think so it's clear with JP, the best chance to have the number one pick is Moore, but he might wait. I actually still will say, I'll actually go back on what I said. I think Lenore Sellers has the best chance to be the number one pick, although Mendoza's nipping at his heels. But I think both Sellers and Moore should go back another year because of the experience factor. Jake, which one of the four quarterbacks he mentioned from mine do you think has the best chance to be the number one pick?
To be the number one pick?
Because I was texting with somebody from Miami earlier today, and I was like, future Browns quarterback Carson Beck? Because he's looking dominant, no matter the fact he's 75.
Yeah, as much hype as John Mateer was getting, I don't know that I would go there.
Carson he's a Beck, little fella.
Yeah, I don't know that people are comparing him because he was doing the Money Mateer to Money Man. He didn't like that. I'm not a big fan of that one, rightfully so. I'd probably lean Carson Beck because of the stock that was there for him going even into last year, and then obviously having to come back, transfer. Like, people are ready to kind of move him straight back into, okay, you clearly weren't that great last year, but if you showed again this year, we already had those thoughts of you. You're just now reigniting them.
All right. Yeah, real quick here, Jake. Can you walk us through what you heard from, is it the Lions offensive coordinator? Because that, again, quarterback Deadpool, will have the teams up there. You guys can vote at afternoon, 923 FAN. But real quick, I wanted to get to this.
Yeah, so the Lions offensive coordinator, John Morton, in his media availability, he did give the Browns defense and especially their defensive line a lot of praise, but had this comment to say about their own rushing game.
We got a tough opponent this week. You know, Source, he does a great job. Respected him over the years, and we got a tough task at hand. I mean, our front right now, we're moving guys. I don't think they've seen a run game like ours yet. And, you know, we have patience. We stick with it. I think that's the biggest thing. Let's keep doing what we've been doing. We got to do that so we can stay manageable. We have to stay manageable on third down. And third down and 2-6, we got to be in that area. So first and second down is going to be crucial.
All right, and then I guess Jim Schwartz, Browns defensive coordinator, responded. Did he respond directly to that quote?
He was asked about it, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we faced some good running offenses. I mean, Green Bay was running the ball really well, so was Baltimore. Cincinnati, it's more of a passing offense. So, you know, it's one of the major things we have to do is stop the run. Two different running backs. You got to protect your edges. You got to defend all 53 and a third, particularly with Gibbs. And then there's a lot of passes that are just extension of the run game, a lot of screen game, a lot of quicks. Even the checkdowns are sort of an extension of the run game. So our ability to play run defense, our ability to tackle in the open field, you know, that's a major part of this game plan going forward.
That was like a who has a better fake Southern accent there for a minute. John Morton is not from the South. I don't believe Jim Schwartz is really from the South, or at least I don't remember hearing a lot of Southern. Like, when did both guys develop Southern accents? But actually, I'm going to side with John Morton. While the Browns have seen, like, all right, yeah, Lamar and Derrick Henry are great. That offensive line is, they're fat, but they're not, they just have never found an elite offensive, I shouldn't say never, this is not an elite offensive line. And Green Bay, yes, Josh Jacobs is darn good. He hasn't been elite this year, and then they've had some issues up front as well. So, like, this is the best blend of dudes up front, Sewell, Decker, Rutledge, Glasgow, like that, and the running talent that Detroit has.
Yeah, I think that you're also, for the first time this season, seeing the two-headed backfield, right?
Like, yeah.
Every team that you face has been a one-headed backfield, even Cincinnati, who Jim obviously correctly annotated that they're a passing offense, but it's like you go through and it's one guy and one guy the entire time toting the rock. I guess they give Lamar and Derrick Henry the combo, but
I mean, they've got like Justice Hill or oh my gosh, I can't remember now. I just forgot who their third down back is.
Keaton Mitchell?
No.
Cecil there?
Anyway, they have Baltimore's a couple good running backs, but like David Montgomery or Jahmyr Gibbs could be starters on a lot of teams.
I also think people kind of miscredit what this team is. Like, the Lions are a run-first team. Like, as much as they get credit for the passing game, they run the ball first.
Well, and what was the thing that they did against Baltimore that just was unstoppable? It was the fact that they just out-physicaled Baltimore, which is a, like, who out-physicaled you a week ago? It was Baltimore. It's really going to bug me. Who's the Justice Hill. I don't know who the hell I was thinking about. I was thinking about one of the other guys, but it's just, I was right on Justice Hill. Keaton Mitchell's now their fourth back. That's not great.
With what, Rasheen Ali also in there?
Yeah. See, we know our Ravens running backs. How dare you doubt us? The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.